a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
You know when lawyers say, always read the fine print?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why they say it.
We don't have our own lawyer, but we can just take you on face value then.
It's very, very important. And what I've learnt recently is you also need to basically read the fine print of any conversation you have as well. Because if you basically agree to something but don't agree to something, there's repercussions. There's consequences.
You're speaking like me right now.
Yeah.
He's such a Loggy thing to say.
Do you want me to play the end of the song again and we'll just start
No, follow this because Dodsy and I the other day, we had a conversation that took place. Now, I thought the conversation was one particular conversation. Mm. She clearly thought it was another because we were discussing, Dodsy's been running a bit, did the half marathon in Melbourne, fantastic achievement, feeling good, feeling fit and like going, hey, I really enjoyed that, I'd love to do more. I want to do a marathon now.
Oh, I love it.
Fantastic, awesome. No, that's great, that healthy, you know, it really makes you feel good. She's like, oh, I'd love to do the Gold Coast Marathon. It's like middle of next year.
Yeah, nice.
All that, you know, I've heard it's quite flat, beautiful spot, middle of winter here, so a bit of sunshine up there. Love to. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you should look into that. They were the words I said. You should look into that.
Yeah.
So then, fast forward a little bit. I was enjoying a beverage over the weekend, and all of a sudden, on our shared email address, we've got our own, but there's a shared one as well. That all of a sudden, all these emails started popping up. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Looked in. Airbnb reservations have come through on my phone. And I'm like, someone's hacked our Airbnb account. We're going to have to follow this up. And then I just clicked on it and had a look inside and realised, oh, there's a couple of night booking on the Gold Coast at about the time the Gold Coast Marathon is next
year. That's a coincidence.
Yeah. Did you get a good deal?
That's her explanation for it all. Right. Oh, it was too good to pass up.
To
pass up.
You got to get on these things early.
I think my exact words were, you should look into that.
Yeah. Now, I know you've never had a real job. But this is not how you apply for annual leave.
Yeah.
This is a system. We've got a whole intranet thing. Yeah. You put it through.
I don't think her plans include me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good.
You're here with the boys. She's off. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Good, because I wasn't going to approve it.
Yeah, there's no chance.
Be careful what your fine print says.
Yeah.
You should look into that.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I was having a bit of a weird chat with my mate yesterday and we were talking about different types of streets. I know, we have wild conversations. Different types of streets. And I was saying, because I live on a drive, right, that like I kind of feel like a little bit superior. Like
superior to somebody who lives on a...
on a street.
So a drive is better than a street.
A drive is better than a street.
So you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me.
Hang on, why did you go woggle?
I didn't. You think you're better than me.
So you live on a street?
Yeah, you think you're better than me.
Okay,
there.
I live on a drive. What do you live on?
I live on a drive.
Oh, my God, yes. We're so much better than we are.
I live on a street.
For once, we outclass you in where we live.
Drive.
You're not better than me just because you've got a different word at the end of
No. I think that some streets are sexier than others. Mm. You know, like drives, avenues. Like things like that. Like, you know, so maybe...
You think you're superior to me because you live on a drive as opposed to just a common street or road.
Yeah, streets are boring. If you live on like an avenue or something. Doesn't it kind of... It's a little bit exciting, isn't it?
Well, there's other stuff and I look at the signs and it's got the abbreviations and next to the street name and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I don't know what you're trying to say to me. What's a CCT?
It's a circuit. But if you live on a crescent...
Oh, yeah, that sounds fancy.
Right? Or like a muse?
I think
that does sound good.
Right?
When I think avenue, I think, you know, trees, lines, beautiful.
Okay, is there such thing as something sexier than a street? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you get the vibe that I'm saying? Like, if you are you quite proud of where you live if you live on a drive.
Do you feel, yeah, do you feel a bit superior?
Yeah, do you feel superior like these two clowns are feeling right now over me because they live on a drive?
Well, give your own a shout out. You don't have to tell us exactly where you are.
Yeah.
But you can just say,
hi,
I live on an avenue.
Avenue.
Troy from Leopold, do you agree? What one do you live on?
I actually live on a drive.
Yeah, sexy.
But no, I don't agree.
Is that just because your drive's a bit crap or because you don't think drives in general?
No, I don't really think anything. I've got a mate that lives in a Muse and he does think he's a little bit better.
Yeah,
100%. Like, drive street doesn't really matter to me, I don't think.
Right. Okay.
So you're missing out because you could be one of us, Troy.
Yeah, well, he is one, and just lean into it as well. Lloydie's in Armstrong Creek. What do you reckon, Lloydie? Is there anything sexier than sort of a drive or a...
Avenue?
An avenue.
Look, I'm Lingy's buddy here, and I live on a street just like him, so we can get along there. We can have a good conversation all day about this, but no, I live on a street. I've just sold my house to go move onto another street. But my job that I've got coming up is on a wind.
A wind.
Oh, that sounds whimsical.
No, what an adventure.
Yeah.
I thought I've never heard of them before. I thought that seems a little bit crafty, and
yeah,
it was up to the name when I went to the address. I thought, oh yeah, this makes sense.
People you've been working for on that job, do they kind of have that feeling like they're cooler than you, Lloydie, because you're just stuck on a street?
Actually, no. I feel like that they'd invite me in. We can have a cup of tea and have a chat as well.
Oh, see? The wine.
Right. The wine people are welcoming people.
Welcoming wine people.
I wonder if those who live on a ridge or a rise would invite you in for a cup of tea.
That sounds amazing.
I would never go into a rise house. I could not.
Really?
No, because they wouldn't let me.
I think ridge sounds fancier than a rise.
Yeah, ridge
personally,
does.
Personally,
yeah,
because the ridge you're is on a cliff? At the top. Yeah.
You're perched over everyone else.
Yeah. Also underrated, Esplanade. If there's anybody out there that lives on an Esplanade, you have done well for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Or Boulevard. Oh, stop it.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Bit of a moment here on the show.
I'm going to keep it together.
All right.
But you know what I'm like.
Yeah. So I'll just do this bit.
Yeah, you do that and I will shush.
Storyteller. Singer-songwriter.
Yes.
Australian icon.
Iconic man.
Paul Kelly is on the line right now. And we are a little bit nervous, a little bit excited. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, guys. No need to be nervous. How are you today?
We're stoked.
We are really good, mate. I don't know. I've been doing radio for 17 years. I mean, Log's not far off that as well. And I don't think I've ever had the pleasure. So, absolutely delighted to have you on, mate. And delighted to have plenty to talk about as well.
Yeah, there's a bit to talk about. Yeah, that's for sure.
Let's start. Can we just start with the tour? I'm reading here. You're touring August, September 2025. Tickets are on sale now. And your biggest shows in Australia and New Zealand to date. Surely this far in, you're not doing your biggest shows ever.
You've done bigger.
Well, in terms of like doing arenas as a headline, I've never done them before.
Wow.
I've done big shows, big outdoor shows, you know, like the Maya Music Bowl in Melbourne, which is probably about the same capacity as, say, Rod Laver in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I've also played at those arenas, you know, with other artists or in group shows, but I've never done an arena tour headlining all the way. So it's new ground for me.
Well, bloody time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's nice that a lot of people will have the chance to go, because the last time you played down here in Geelong was at the Geelong Arts Centre, and it was during COVID times, and I had to basically do things I'm not proud of to get tickets, Paul. I had to like fly them straight, push people out the way. And it was such a tiny, intimate show because a couple of your band members got COVID, but then it was such a magical show. You really bring the small stage even to the biggest of stages, don't you? Just connecting with your music.
I remember remember that show well. That was a funny old time, COVID, jumping all around the country trying to avoid the bug. It's like a some kind of bee movie. Which is everywhere we went, it's behind us, we've got to get out of the state. And, yeah, so sometimes, you know, when you do, we couldn't do the whole band on that show that we did in Geelong, but we had to improvise, and just made it, you know, looking back, it made it a really, really special show. Mm. I remember Eddie Betts was at that show
too. He was.
I think I did a song for Eddie.
Yeah, nice.
So
every step of the way.
We were sort of, yeah, every step of the way, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, we're pretty fond memories of that show, even though it was probably sweating a lot during it. It made it work.
As long as you weren't breathing on everyone, I believe that was sort of the order of the day.
Yeah.
Mate, so iconic songs through, you know, your career. You got your To Her Doors, your Leaps and Bounds, How to Make Gravy, of course, and Dumb Things, and so many more. Is it really nice for you and maybe even a bit surprising to see those songs resonate with generations as they come through, like, you know, younger crew?
Yeah, it is good. We're definitely getting sort of all ages to the shows, and really like that. I don't know, maybe they just, you know, the younger generation, maybe they were just brainwashed by their parents on long holiday drives.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I guess we always try to keep things fresh and always, you know, putting out new music. We just recently, you know, as we put out the record, and we did a small little launch in Melbourne and sort of played about eight of the new songs along with some old ones, and they seem to sort of slot in well, so that's always keeps things fresh for us, that we've got new songs to play as well as the old ones.
Yeah, and that's what we love about you too, that you give us everything we want more. With, we were just chatting about Eddie Betts then in Geelong, you have been known to write some songs about athletes. Of course, Adam Goods has got a song, Shane Warne, Dom Bradman. Now, we've got Cameron Ling. Now, he's not here today. But I was just wondering, there's this really iconic moment of Lingy's that I think you could turn into a song. It's when he was right in front of the goals on his second match ever, and he absolutely shanked it.
From the goal square. Out of bounds.
It's iconic. It's embarrassing. It's got it all. Possible Cameron Ling song in the works?
Well, you never know. Ling, there are a lot of things that rhyme with Ling. That's a good start.
Ding, sing, ring. Bing.
Anyway, we've used them all over the journey.
Dumb thing.
Yeah, it was a dumb thing for him to do.
Yeah, Ling did a dumb thing.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll play this back to him. He'll love this. Paul, wondering sort of, yeah, you keep releasing new music. You've been, you know, relatively consistently releasing new music for 40-odd years. Do you ever get sort of writing a song, get to a point, and then someone you're working with goes, nah, mate, I reckon you've done that one?
not so much that, but yeah, I've worked with my band for, you know, some of them, my drummer for 30 years, and
yeah,
the rest of the band around 20 years. And the good thing about them is they've all got strong opinions. They don't pull their punches. So
yeah,
they'll tell me if a song's not working, or, you know, go back and maybe need to rework that. Or yeah, so I get good feedback from the band.
That's, yeah, good.
I think it's really important.
And you should just say shut up on Paul Kelly. Yeah, like, I know what I'm doing.
Is your name on the door? amazing.
We're not like that.
Nah,
yeah,
of course not.
Look, it is very exciting, of course. 21st of December, everyone knows, is Gravy Day, and How to Make Gravy is coming to Binge on the 1st of December. You knew this was happening, but as far as seeing the characters, your characters that you wrote and sing about, and now that are iconic Australian characters in everyone's heart, is it weird? Have you seen the show before it's been played? Is it weird to kind of see your characters take form like that?
Yeah, I've seen the movie, and I think they've done a really good job. And yeah, it was a surprise because a lot of the names in the song, I didn't really know much about them. I knew that Joe and Dan were brothers.
Yeah.
I knew that Joe and Rita were husband and wife.
Mm.
And I thought Maya Stella was probably a sister. But I didn't really have a picture for many of the others. I didn't know Angus, Frank, Dolly, Mary. I didn't know. I had a bit of an idea about Roger.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of say a bit about him in the song. But,
yeah.
Yeah, they were just sort of names that sort of fitted into sort of the rhythm of the song. So, of course, when they made the movie, they had stories for all those characters. It turns out that, I don't think I'm giving too much away, but it turns out that Angus is a 9-year-old son of Joe and Rita.
Okay.
I hadn't seen that coming at all, and that the story is told partly through his eyes, which is, I thought was a really good choice on their part.
That's great that they fleshed out those characters. Did they, during the process of either writing or filming, touch base with you and sort of get any sort of advice, or did they just make the product and then go, hey, Paul, this is what we've come up with?
I said to them right from the start, I don't want to be controlling in any way or hovering over what you're doing. For me, it's their piece of work. They're taking my song as a starting point, but they're making their own art. You know, it's just a completely different medium, film.
Yeah.
But Megan Washington, who first approached me, she's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
She and her husband, Nick Waterman, wrote the script, and Nick directed it. So they did keep me in the loop along the way. But, I was just basically kept in the loop. I didn't really have input into what they were doing.
Mm.
It's so cool.
Can't wait to see it, mate. It's been awesome to talk to you. We're very excited for this huge tour. It's a while away yet, but tickets are on sale August and September 2025. 9 huge arenas around Australia and New Zealand as well. Of course, the one for us will be Rod Laver Arena on the 6th of September. Paul Kelly and friends. Mate, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.